The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
What's going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 256. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
What's up, people? How's it going? I caught that little flub right there.
Where was the flub?
You heard about to say throw down.
I paused on purpose to give it emphasis, man.
Oh, okay.
You know? That's the good thing about it. I could fuck up the other one, though, if I say throw down your questions, you know? anyway, Carlos Romero.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Adam Vale.
What up, strangers?
And Brian Mungiomo.
Hello, hello, hello.
All right, man, we're back with another one you already know, man. Having some interesting conversations in the background. You already know how Throwdown gets, man. The after-hours special, man. I don't really have any lead-up tonight. I'm just going to get into it.
You mean you going to get in it?
Yeah, although
can I ask the first question?
Excuse me? If you're hanging out in the chat right now, we have plenty of room for more questions, so feel free to ask them. Anyway, go ahead, Carlos. You can start us off. What's your question? And it better be about video games, man.
This is a question particular for one person. His name is Adam Vale. Adam.
What?
When are you going to get the next arcade cabinet, and what game is it going to be?
That is actually part of the big surprise that I was trying to tell.
Never mind, I wasn't trying to do that.
That's sort of what I was getting at, and I'm trying to get the parts and stuff, and that's how you are all going to get involved in it.
Ooh, interesting. Uh-oh. Tease, people.
Yo, man, we got a teaser.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Teaser,
teasing us, son.
I'll share more off air because once it happens, everyone will be able to see it.
Remember, we were just talking about this beforehand, Adam. Embargoes, baby.
Oh yeah, embargoes. Yeah, yeah. And this could be something big. Maybe others may want to do the same and be part of Throwdown.
Ooh, I like the sound of this. Tease, big tease.
I'm intrigued.
You know. All right, starting us off is actually Sage Surge, a.k.a. Dana Abercrombie. Adam, this question is for you.
Oh, shit. Here we go.
Throw down your Adam questions.
This is my bitter rival. This is my bitter rival. Set some Dana over on WrestleCast. We fight for at least 2 or 3 hours and then keep going to another show.
I'm assuming this will be a wrestling question.
Yes, related. But it's also a video game question, too. It's both of them. And she asked us with a lot of, you know, like laughing emojis because she's trying to make fun of you, I guess.
Oh, damn. Here we go.
Adam, what is your most favorite part about WWE 2K20?
Oh, there we go. Shit. My favorite part of 2K20.
Be like, nothing. This game is trash.
The microtransactions.
No shit.
No, shit. I don't really have any. I mean,
that's an answer.
She knows that there's no right answer for this shit because there's nothing good. I mean, this is sad. This is really sad. Their whole situation is sad. I'm sure we'll see a documentary about this whole shit later because of Yuke's and all that stuff. But no, she knows there's nothing good. I mean,
yeah, she just did that to tease you.
She knows. That is a no-win answer for that one.
Oh, well. All right, moving on. G Megaforce 1, a 2, a 3. 3. All right, so this is an interesting question. Can you still enjoy a game you're disappointed with?
Yeah.
Of course.
All right, examples.
Example, it could be, for example, FIFA soccer, right? I didn't get the new one, but I've had the other ones. They're not making big strides in innovations, but it's somewhat still, you know, it's a soccer game. It's a basic. It's still fun, but it doesn't wow me. So disappointed that it's not evolving and that it's just a stagnant game. But then again, at its core, that's the reason why I'm playing, because it is a soccer game.
I'm trying to think. I mean, yeah, you could have stuff like, I like Mass Effect 3 until the last 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm. But would you replay it?
I replay that game a lot. I got the platinum.
Shit. So you keep replaying. All right. There goes that.
I loved 80% of Metal Gear Solid 5 until like the last 20%. It was like, what the fuck is this shit? So I guess that counts. Oh, here's one. This is going to be controversial, kind of.
Oh.
Even though it is the worst Mass Effect game, I still did enjoy most of what I played in Andromeda, at least with the gameplay. Not the story so much, the gameplay. I like going to little different planets. I have to get back into that. You know? The gunplay was awesome. The combat exploration, all that was good. Like, the actual game itself was good. It's just everything else about it that was bad, you know?
Don't say it's possible.
Yeah. All right. What about you, Manny? What games did you like that still disappointed you?
It was a disappointing game that you liked. That you liked parts of, right?
A game you enjoyed that you're disappointed with. That's his exact question.
Oh, a game that I enjoyed that I'm disappointed with.
Yeah.
Probably The Quiet Man.
Oh yeah. Oh man.
I enjoyed playing that game, but I also, I understand it has quite a bit of flaws in it, but I did overall enjoy the game, but I feel like it could have been a lot better. And the stinky thing about it is it's a beat 'em up and there's so little beat 'em ups right now. And that's kind of a weak step into the beat 'em up genre.
3D beat 'em ups, to be more exact.
Exactly, yeah.
Have you played Mother Russia? You got to play that.
Mother Russia Bleeds.
Yeah, that's a fun one, man. That's a fun beat 'em up.
Yeah.
I got one.
Yeah, go ahead. Okay, Carlos, go ahead. And then Brian, I'll go after you.
If a third one comes out, it'll probably be on the list as well, but Destiny 1 and 2.
Oh, you know what? I'm going to stick those in there too. I liked playing the game, very good controls, but it was disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's just the franchise as a whole is super disappointing, but there's aspects of the game that are fun. You know, there's aspects of the game that's addicting. The combat is probably one of the best, first person shooter combats that's out there.
But, well, if you want the story version of that, play Halo. That's the story version.
Well, the story that Destiny tried to tell is different from Halo. But I mean,
it was whack. That was the problem.
But the first one didn't really have a story. The second one, it was like they kind of acknowledged that this was just like a mindless shooting game. But yeah, Destiny for me would be that. Division 2
is another one. That's another one.
But we have to enjoy it, and that's the problem. Having a hard time trying to enjoy that. I tried. We went back for the Pentagon.
We enjoyed the hell out of it, man.
I think we were looking for fun.
How many hours have you put into that game?
Yeah, exactly.
Not enough. Not a lot. Actually, not a lot in that one.
But how many, though?
Played as much as one.
I don't know. It definitely nowhere near like 20 or 30.
You put at least 20 hours into that game.
Let me go on. Hold on. I got Ubisoft.
You and I played most of Division 2 together. We put like.
But we flew by. Remember? It was within like a week and we were done.
Yeah, but we still put a lot of hours into it, man.
No, I was looking for the fun. I was hoping that we'd get to that fun. Yeah,
And you've been sending texts left and right trying to get Tony and Chris to play. You haven't been inviting me, man. You've obviously been enjoying it enough to not invite me.
You can't play because of the gear level that we talked about.
Oh, so you're saying that I'm the one that doesn't make it fun.
No, well, yeah, you're not there, so it's not fun.
Carlos, stop acting like a woman.
Yo, man, I'm trying to make Adam acknowledge that he at least enjoys some aspects of this game to
play. Adam, you're tripping, bro. You enjoy it.
The fun. What I was looking for, if that was the case, then I would just randomly go on and just play side missions. But the thing is that there's no angle. That was the whole thing that pissed me off. Look, we finished the Pentagon, and what did we get for it?
So it's disappointing.
It's very disappointing, but we kept looking for fun. I'm looking for it. And it has aspects of being fun because it is the Division. I love the Division, the franchise in a whole. I just don't like the structure of this game. And I'm hoping one day I'm going to turn this shit on. It's going to be a patch. And so I'm like, hey, we fixed this. We got rid of all the other bullshit.
Patch.
Yeah, exactly. I'm waving about it. It's smooth like, but it's gonna be like they slip right on top of all of it, real caked up, you know. And it's gonna be fun to have, but that day hasn't come yet.
Oh, interesting. All right, Brian, what about you, man?
I say that you can actually enjoy a game that you didn't like, especially the ending. Again, it means that you don't have to play it. Like with me and The Last of Us.
I knew what you were going to say.
I'm being honest with you guys. Right? I'm being honest. Yeah, I enjoyed the ending because it means that I just stopped playing it. Like, cool, I'm done. I'm wash my hands with this and just be done. But in all seriousness, I don't really have games that I enjoyed aspects of, because if one thing just soured things for me, then the whole experience is just soured in general. So I can't really answer that question.
All right. Glorious War says Gears of War 5. And he's going to blow up in a little bit after your Last of Us comment. So we'll wait for that. Oh, GZR says The Order 1886, no multiplayer, no co-op campaign.
The co-op I can agree with. The multiplayer.
Yeah, I could have went with some co-op. That would have been fun. Since you always had somebody with you in the game anyway.
Yeah, you're always like on a squad.
Yeah, so it would have made sense to have that.
And I like playing with other people, man. It would have made those wolf fucking parts less scary.
Can we be afraid?
Yo, man, that shit.
You afraid of the dog?
He likes the dog.
He likes the dog. All right, so let me see here.
All right, let's move on. Keep searching. Anyway, next question from Mr. G Mega Force. Would you be okay with only being able to play the current games and... let me repeat it. Would you be okay with only being able to play the current games that you own, never adding new games to your collection?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I would.
Yeah. I have so many fucking games.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And we're talking about games from every generation.
Oh,
yeah. I mean, if you think about all the ROMs and shit like that
come on, that's enough. The same thing, bro.
Yeah, that's enough. That's right there alone.
You know?
95% of my Steam library is unplayed.
Yeah, same here, man.
95%. Yeah. I mean, I might even be exaggerating. It might be even 97%.
Damn.
I have so many fucking games for Steam that I just haven't got the chance to
play. I guess I should ask, does anyone have no to this answer? Brian, what about you, man?
Oh, no, I'm more than happy. Like, again, I'm with Carlos here. Like, I have a Switch backlog in less than a year. I don't know how that's possible, but I have a Switch backlog now. Like, what's wrong with that?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm good.
All right, so that's our universal answer. We'd be okay. Yep. All right. Fine. Next up, Mr. Annihilator.
Are you kidding me?
What happened, Adam? How many hours you put?
It says 104 hours.
Yeah, I knew it.
How is this possible?
Because you want to have played a lot, Adam.
You lose yourself in the game because you enjoyed it.
I don't remember enjoying this. I remember looking for stuff. You know what? I'll tell you the best moment. The best moment I had was when we were collecting those masks. Remember the...
Yeah.
You
know how many hours we put into that shit, bro?
That's a lot of hours for a game you didn't like.
You know? Exactly. That sucks. Because then I wish I put that in something I didn't.
Adam, how do I check how many
hours? You log into, go to Ubi Club or Ubisoft website, and then just sign in with your PSN account.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll see all your games. And the last one Ubisoft game you played will pop up first. That was ours. That was Ghost Recon.
Got it.
And then click it, see stats, and it's toward the bottom. It says playtime. Total playtime.
Playtime. Where does it say?
You clicked on the game?
Yeah, it says gear score, items, and plan XP.
You go to view all stats. You see it on the side there?
Wait, view all stats? I don't see that.
So, all right, so you clicked on your game, and then if you look, there's another listing, right?
Yeah.
More details. Oh, sorry, view more stats. Yeah, view more stats. Yeah, see them. See more stats there.
Hold on, because I see overview, rewards, challenges, stats, leaderboards.
Yeah, well, you see all right, so you clicked on the game, and then you see the stat leader, but you don't see an option that says see all stats?
No, I don't. Stats? I do not, sir.
That's weird. I didn't even see that. Because mine's, I see two lists. I see the left says stats, right says rewards.
No, for me, it says overview, rewards, challenges, stats, and leaderboards.
When you clicked on your profile?
No, I clicked on my profile, and hold on, what the fuck? I clicked on games. That's what I clicked.
Look for the Division game itself, the Division 2 game.
Yeah, that's
click.
What I, yeah, I have it on right now.
And then you should see it split. It shows split on both sides.
I see stats and leaderboards and latest gear score. That's all it says.
I don't know what that is.
I don't know. I can't see it. I wish I could. Can I share my
screen? You're just looking for see more stats. So that's what you're looking for.
I don't see the see more stats option. By the way, people are filling up time because we literally only have like a couple questions tonight.
So see more buttons.
And you just click on it and it gives you a full list. And
UB Club, right?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm in the wrong spot.
Yeah, it could be.
Let me go to my dashboard. See game overview for the Division, right?
Division 2. That's weird.
21 available. How come it says 21 available stats, but I can't see more of them?
I don't understand. Why are you saying that? I'm at the official. I'm signed into the official Ubisoft.com. That's where I'm at right now. Try that. Just go to Ubisoft.com. Oh, that's wrong.
Oh, by the way, it says I played the Dark Zone for almost 2 hours. I'm surprised by that. Hey, Ubisoft.com.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right, man. We're filling up the podcast time with this shit. All right.
Yeah, man. Gotta get your UB time in there.
All right, I'm in the Ubisoft.
Yeah, there you go. And you should see in the top right, you're signed in, right?
Yeah.
And
you click the little Romu Death, you know?
Yeah, right. Click it. Once you click that, and you should see where it says the latest games that you've played.
Okay.
Last played games.
Right? Oh, this is different, Adam. Okay.
That's weird that they have
so split, see more. Click. Okay.
There you go. See more stats. Okay, and you see everything's broken down. Scroll all the way down. And then it's toward the bottom, and then you'll see total playtime.
PvE playtime, right? Hey, yeah. Adam, I got more than you. I got 140 hours.
See, look at that. But I know there's a bunch of times you and your
cousin. Shaboy.
Remember when you were playing when, you know.
Yeah, I was playing with my cousin, you know, and then I was also playing on my own. Here we go. 100 total playtime, 142 hours. Voice of God. All right, people. That little interlude was brought to you by
Skill DM Kill. Players. I don't even understand what I get. Oh, man, that's with the skill. 471.
Yo, Adam, you go to UB Club or what?
Yeah, go to Ubisoft.com.
Yeah, go to Ubisoft. Yeah,
that's right. Right. We're filling this shit up right now.
Ubisoft.com. I literally never even been to this site before. Uh-oh. What the hell? Unisoft? No, not that. Ubisoft. Oh, shit. Okay, so I'm on Ubisoft.
And then on the right-hand corner up there, you got to click log in with your PlayStation.
All right. Okay.
PSN, man.
PlayStation.
Oh, God.
I haven't played a Ubisoft game in years.
Yo, man, what? You played Rayman?
Huh?
You played Rayman, though, right?
No, I didn't.
Uh-oh. Never mind.
I didn't play the last Ubisoft game that I played was Assassin's
Creed. Beyond Good and Evil.
No, that was on PS3.
Okay.
I logged in.
Assassin's Creed Black Flag, right?
Assassin's Creed Black Flag, and I didn't even get past the beginning. I kind of just played a little bit of it and I gave it back to you.
Oh, shit.
So what do I do after I log in?
You click your name in the top right, and then you should see the showing of the last few games that you've played, and then you just click the game. Just click the game that you want, and then you'll see two sides, two columns, stats and rewards. Yeah, see more stats, and there you go. That's it.
Longest play time. What is it? PvE XP? Oh, no. Play time.
Yeah,
it was. Oh, dude. Anybody? All right, let's take some guesses.
Which game is this?
Oh, Division.
Division. It's got to be 10 hours.
Yeah, I was gonna say Division 10 hours. Yeah, I was gonna say like 10 hours, probably less.
Yo, you motherfuckers are fucking like Miss Cleo or something. Right on the money. 10 hours.
Damn. See how you would, man. Oh,
Nah, man. You can't compare us to Miss Cleo. She was fake. Well, real.
That's right.
the real Miss Cleo. Miss Cleo was a fake, man. That the lady that was on the commercials was a fake, man.
total co-op play time for. Breakpoint, 6 hours, 6.5 hours.
Breakpoint. Yeah, man, that's the length of an old game.
Mm-hmm. There we go.
All right, man, let's get back to the show. Annihilator 83, man. So his question is, since PlayStation 5 will have cross-gen games, what will get PS4 users to buy the PS5? The promise of more power.
By the way, it's rumor on that one.
No, it isn't.
Wait, rumor of what?
No, it is
not. The background compatible, full background compatibility.
Oh, you're talking about for like the PlayStation 1, 2, 3, all that.
That's already been confirmed.
No, that hasn't been confirmed.
No, it hasn't.
Tony's talking about PS4.
Yeah, PS4, talking about everything. We're not talking about everything. We're just talking about PS4 games.
But that's the rumor going around.
PS4 backwards compatibility confirmed. All complete backwards compatibility rumored. Get that straight. You know,
that's it.
Rumor. We're talking about just PS4 games. So he's just asking, what would be the incentive if you're a PS4 user to buy a PS5? You could just play the same games.
Yeah, you can literally place, essentially, you get to PlayStation Pro your old games.
Yeah.
PlayStation Pro.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to say. Like, the same reason people bought the PS4 Pro, because they get a little bit shinier games, man.
Yeah, you can get your old games to look shinier, and then plus you got some new ones that look even better.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was the one thing that slowed down the process of me moving over from, from PS3 to PS4. Because I didn't buy it right away because I was like, there's nothing I want to play on it yet. And, it doesn't play anything from PS3, and I was still playing PS3 games. So this time, I'll probably pick up a PlayStation 5 a lot earlier because I'm like, oh, okay. Well, essentially all I need to do is just retire my old PlayStation 4 and then stick the 5 there.
Yeah. It's a good, interesting way of seeing it. Adam, what do you say?
Yeah, I think, as long as the save files and shit work, I think that's the only time it might get tricky. But
well, why wouldn't it? I mean, to be honest.
You'd be surprised, man. Transferring sometimes from console to console, the shit fucks up.
Well, also everything goes onto the cloud, right?
If you have PSN.
If you have PSN. Yeah. So what you could do is you probably, now you have a pretty good amount of, you could just literally just back all of most of the stuff on there and just pop it on there. Or if Sony is smart, you can just literally connect your 4 to your 5 and then just transfer over all of your data.
Yeah, that would be nice, wouldn't it?
But that's just hearsay, that's a speculation.
I still want to see how this whole thing's going to work with the SSD and externals and stuff, because then I'm hearing that you won't be able to use externals. And I was like, fuck, how is this going to work?
Oh, no, you just have to be, because like SSDs are super expensive.
That's what I'm saying. So it's like, how is this? That
it'd be anything.
It's because they're saying the way that this requires for it to have the super fast load time, obviously it has to be loaded through the SSD portion of the drive, and that's it. So let's say if you do have an external and you dump games on it, you won't be able to play them off of it. Or if you do, they're not going to have the full effect. They're going to have to be swapped and put onto
the main SSD. You're going to have to put whatever you want to load fast on your SSD.
That's a constant swap.
I mean, it's
swap.
Not. I mean, how else are you going to do it? Right? It's not going to work if it's running off of an external.
But there's not much space. I mean, we're only fitting. That's less than a Pro.
Brian, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying that it'd be really dumb of them to make that happen, so that you can't use an external drive and you're forced to use the SSD. Because then we're pretty much back in the Vita territory again. In that, hey, you have this memory that only works with our machine, and it's stupid expensive to make, and that's it. You're screwed. Like, this is how the Vita went down in flames. Like, they made getting large amounts of memory really difficult to get.
The thing is that they have supposedly this special SSD that's on there, right?
I'm sure
they're going to probably allow it to do externals. But the thing is, I'm guessing the main crux of it though is it won't get that extra speed that you see everywhere because it's running from an external drive.
Of course not.
My guess is that if you want your games to run fast, you have to make sure that they're on the drive. Plain and simple.
Yeah, but the idea is that they should still let you use an external drive, because if they don't, then they're locking you into the Vita type system, in that you have to use this limited memory, and if you don't, then you're screwed.
This is me just speculating, but I don't think they're going to be that stupid and not allow you to at least have some additional space. Well,
right now, they don't want to talk about it at all because it's all about the SSD. That's all they want to talk about. So every time it comes up about the externals.
We'd be in the dimension of the way the what happens with the Switch, where it's like, in other words, some of the games don't run that well if you run them off the thing, off the external, you know, off the little chip that you throw inside of it. So, you know.
I never use it, though.
Yeah, I don't think so. Honestly, I don't think Sony would be dumb enough to force you to only use the SSD, because we all know that this SSD is not going to be, what, it might be, what, 500 gigabytes at most?
Think about when it gets formatted with the system and all the performance applications that they have to put on.
Yeah.
That's going to be like.
Yeah, it's going to be way less. But yeah, like I doubt they'll give you a terabyte of SSD storage, because that'll be too expensive.
They will. And then the PS5 will be $600.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's the only way that you'll get that high memory. Because, yeah, they are super expensive.
They are.
Super expensive. They're cheaper than what they used to be, but still expensive.
Yeah. I actually was looking into one right now, one of those M2 SSDs.
The M2s.
It was like a terabyte for $160, I think. And I passed on that. I was like, nah, I'll just get one when I do my new build. I'm doing one in 2021, by the way, not 2020. I don't think... I think they might give us a terabyte of SSD storage, but yeah, like Brian mentioned, it's going to be $600 or something like that, because these things, even though they're way cheaper, like Brian mentioned, they're still kind of hefty in the price compared to hard drives. But yeah, I don't think they're going to lock down anyone to SSD only. It'd be stupid to do that.
Yeah, we'll have to see what they do.
Also interesting to see how it works when it comes to disks. So let's say if you're playing the game off a disc, does it have to always load a portion, or if it's going to do like what it's doing with the PS4 and dump it all on and then you play it from there? But in order for it to really have that boost in performance, it would just need to be that one section. I don't know. It's tricky. It's going to be interesting to see how they pull this off.
Unless they sell you some proprietary shit off the side, you know? Oh, hey, God. You want to have this external? We got some for you.
Adam, I think after that they'll just either load it onto the SSD or it just won't work at all. Because again, we live a point now where 5400 RPM drives are faster at reading than Blu-ray drives. So they're already being beat by stuff that's been out for like 10, 20 years. So there's no way that they'll actually run out of the disk.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I mean, we're not even doing it this gen anymore. It's like how many games really do you play off the disc? Usually when you start playing those, they
loads stuff. Everything up. It loads everything onto the hard drive itself.
By the way, Tony.
Yo.
Glorious War asked a question. You want me to put it in the show notes?
Yes.
Would you like it to be before or after the epic one?
We're going to save the epic one for last. Shout out to B. Will, who wrote us a tome this week. He asked his question in the form of an epic poem, but we'll get to that in a bit.
You see, Tony, now it's some just back to these numbers. Something's wrong with these numbers. You know why? Because I clicked on Wildlands, which I know I put a lot of time in because I wanted to get that plat, and it says that I have the solo play time 117 hours, co-op time 25 hours. But I feel like I played a lot more of this game than that. How am I still at 100 hours for Division 2 and I only have 55% when it comes to the trophies? Like, I don't get it. And I definitely know we weren't even hunting for any of those type of things. So I don't see how I could have put 100 hours to that fucking game.
Yeah, well.
Something's not right.
Yeah, I mean, it could be wrong too, you know. Anyway, where the fuck are we? Yeah, Glorious War. Okay, so you're getting those in there. We gotta go to Mr. Damian. His first question is a hypothetical one. If PlayStation Now gets Sony first-party games on day one, will you still purchase games or will you just sign up for PS Now? He's basically
Didn't he ask this question last week?
He asked us a variant of it.
He's basically saying if it becomes Game Pass.
Yeah, if and it becomes Game Pass, would you buy it?
I'm signing up for it. I'll do it.
Yeah, if you could download the games, yes. If it's PS Now as it is now, where you could only stream the games, then no. You know, the reason we said this before, the reason Game Pass is superior to PS Now is because you could download your fucking games. But I know you could download some of your games now on PS Now, but not all of them. But if they do the same exact deal, hell fucking yeah.
Oh yeah! Hell
same
yeah.
day release, the game comes Hell out and it's yeah. on there.
Easily,
shit. I will never buy.
That's a not even a question. Ever. You know, yeah. Yeah, that's it. You wouldn't need to. You know?
No need.
That's why Game Pass is so good.
Yeah, I mean, Game Pass is cool, man. My only problem is there's not enough games for on it for me. But if it was on PlayStation, excuse me.
Is he on my?
Yeah, that'd be a different story.
For me, on that, I still would just buy single games because I don't play enough games to warrant essentially paying a monthly fee for that.
No, but the price of it is the price of one game.
I mean, because I'm already
so for the year.
If you look at it this way, it's like I'm already paying for friggin' PlayStation Network, right?
Yeah.
Subscription service on top of it? No, I'm not.
So for Game Pass, I paid $65 for a year when I first got it. So for the price of one game, I'm getting all these games for a whole year.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It's worth it if you do it that way. So even if you only play two games, you got your money's worth.
Man,
you just want a game physical. That's fine. You could just say that.
You can get paper cuts, man. Don't touch it. Yeah,
you want to get your old games physical. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
Store. I like. You know, I'm old fashioned. I'm
store. People look at you.
I got to the heart, man. I know you, man. I know you too well. You're old school, like you said. You know,
old school.
Nothing wrong with that. But me, since like I'm annoyed when because sometimes like game, you know, game developers send me like physical games. Like, don't send me physical. Send me a fucking code. I would jump on this shit so fast, bro.
I'm not even gonna give him a shout out or anything, but there was a YouTuber that I used to follow, and he would do reviews stuff, and he said he turned down any publisher that said we're gonna send him a code, he would reject it unless they sent them physical.
He's crazy.
Yeah, because he has a wall full of his games, and he said it was always annoying. So whenever they would say, "Hey,
buy the fucking game,"
he would buy it. He said, but he would not if a developer said, "Hey, would you like to play a game?" He's like, "Sure, send me a physical. Don't send me a digital."
Wow. Do you want to play the
ball? Come on, son.
He wouldn't bother.
Like, I'll complain, but I'm not going to complain to them. You know, they're the ones sending me the fucking game. Shut up, you idiot.
But I guess that's his way of trying to say he don't give a shit. That's pretty much it.
That's a pet peeve of mine, man. These fucking people, like, yo, you getting this shit for free and you fucking complaining? Really?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
I'll accept your games.
like I would get annoyed, but I'll be grateful that they sent it. You know, come on, guys.
Yeah, I mean,
digital, all of it, it's whatever. Game's a game.
Yeah.
Even if you want the physical copy, you can still get the digital to play it in advance and do whatever you're supposed to do with it.
Yeah.
And then pay for it when it comes out.
Exactly, man. It's crazy.
Shit, maybe if you don't like the game, then you don't have to buy it.
Yeah. Brian, what's your take on Game Pass and all that stuff?
It's cool, but I just, again, it's only worth it if the games on there are actually decent. Like, if they're just throwing crap at you, then pretty pointless. It's good if you are on a budget and you just want to pick and choose, but I don't know, it just seems a bit weird. Like,
even getting games day one?
Again, you know what I mean? I'm not a day one person, so yeah. That's not even a fact in general. It's just the cost aspect. It's like, you pay for PS Now, you pay for you pay for PS Plus. Again, do you still need PS Plus if you're playing PS Now games online or not? That's something that I've not heard an answer about. Again, I've not searched it, but it's still something that's like, Okay, even if you don't have to pay for it, it's still then the case of when do you get the game? If you get them day and date, then that's fine. That's good. That would be worth it. But again, if you just get really bad games all the time or games that don't really care about, then it's kind of pointless.
Like, one of the things I've noticed with Game Pass, obviously Xbox doesn't have a bunch of exclusives, so it's like, well, aren't they all going to be pretty much old games? But they've been working out some crazy deals with these publishers because they've been getting fairly new games. Devil May Cry 5 is on there. Metro Exodus is on there. You know, these games didn't come out. Outer Worlds. Outer Worlds is on there. And I didn't think the Outer Worlds was going to be in there. And I got a text message. It was like, oh, you have Game Pass here, preloaded. I'm like, I didn't know that. I mean, we all know that they own the studio now, but we didn't know. Did you know that, Tony?
What, that you could preload Outer Worlds?
That it was part of Game Pass.
Outer Worlds. I had no idea.
Exactly. I didn't see any posting or anything until I received an email from Microsoft. Like, hey, preload now. Click the button. Like,
I'll always give them credit, man, because Game Pass is probably the best service out there. Because they do have a lot of great games. The only thing that pisses me off is that freaking app, man. Why do they have to put a separate app for Game Pass? Just put it with the Xbox app, man.
I don't know. Why is everything split up on a damn dashboard?
Don't get me started with
Chivo's the dashboard, broken man. Up. Man, the truth, I'm telling you, and even when we talked about it last week about people jumping, if it wasn't out, even if with all the games and messing itself, I probably would have still been there if it wasn't for the damn UI being shit. That fucking UI is so damn bad. Can't navigate, can't find stuff, can't find people. I couldn't do it. Couldn't do it.
Yo, man, you know what? You know what's on the Game Pass? The Metal Gear Solid HD Collection.
What?
Missing one.
What?
What happened?
Is that the one with Nintendo Game Boy?
No, that's the... I think that's... Was it like the PS Vita one or PS3 one?
The Vita one is the one that I had that had the Game Boy version. I mean, the NES version.
And Peace Walker, I think.
Yo, you know, you know what else is in this? No. Dead Cells. Bloodstained Ritual of the Night. Yo, they have a lot of good games, man.
Oh yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's like, so they know that they're lacking when it comes to exclusives. So a lot of people are like, well, what are you really gonna have on it? And then next thing you see, wow, you got these really good third parties that aren't that old.
They got Sea of Thieves.
Had Sea of Thieves already.
Now we know they've had that. We're
playing that already. Come on.
Wait, is Outer Worlds that one?
That's game the new one that's coming out.
That's the one by Obsidian.
Yeah.
When does that come out?
Friday.
Yeah, that's the one that they bought the studio.
It's Guild Bay?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, sucker.
I didn't know this.
Free Sunday, man.
Yo, man, it's like free Sunday.
I lost all my...
By the way, I can't give you an opinion, but I've been playing that game for about the last week now, just so you know. Oh.
I could
say that at least.
Yeah, we're full of teasers in this show, man.
Won't be breaking embargo.
I'm not breaking embargo. They said I've got the game. That's it. You know. Okay, I got to be careful with this next question since we're talking about the Outer Worlds. He goes, will the Outer Worlds not being optimized for PS4 Pro affect review scores and sales? Damien, we got to debunk this right now. Okay, earlier this week, a rumor started circulating that... Actually, a rumor that the developer started, by the way.
Yeah, it's kind of misspoke.
Like, basically, he misspoke. I think they were talking to Windows Central, and they were asked, hey, is this game optimized for PS4 Pro? And they said, no. Everybody went fucking crazy. So they come back and go, no, it is optimized, you know? So
he probably just didn't know. Like,
he said it was like some special enhancement, something that the X has.
Yeah.
That it's going to have, but that the PS4 wouldn't have it, but it's still definitely going to be optimized.
Yeah. And that, the reason I bring that up is because I can't answer any questions with regards to that, people. Ask me on Tuesday when the embargo lifts, then I can tell you all about it. You know?
Are you posting a review for this?
Yes, I am. Geek.com, you know. I'm still debating whether I'm going to put it on the embargo date on launch day. The beautiful thing about my position is I don't need to put out reviews right away. And I think I want to play this game a little more because...
You said it was long, though. That much you could say. It was long.
I could say that, right? It's a long
game? Yeah, because it's not spoiling. It's a long game.
It's a long game. And I want my review to be full. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. See, that's how you avoid embargoes, people.
Yo, man.
All right. So let's move on here to Mr. Glorious War in the house, man. All right. Do you guys think the power narrative... By the way, I'm reading this raw dog, so excuse any flubs here. Do you guys
power think... Power narrative?
Yeah, the power narrative will be as important in this upcoming next generation as it was this gen in 2013 and 2014. Rumors are that the PS5 will be slightly more powerful. Basically this generation, you know, a big thing was the whole power difference between the PS5 and the Xbox, right? So he's wondering if this is going to happen again next generation.
Yes. Absolutely, unquantifiably, yes. And the reason why is because of two particular people in this show.
Uh-oh. Wait, we got influence like that, bro?
Yo, I mean, we got some influencers in this place.
You know,
his name is Emilio Lopez and his name is Tony Polanco.
Word.
If you were to ask these people about tech specs last generation, they wouldn't know, like, they wouldn't know anything about the tech specs. But now this generation, they know about tech specs. They're all into the, like, talking about, like, you know, what's going to be in it, what kind of SSDs and shit. And well, like,
I've never talked about that shit. I don't
like, but you're more knowledgeable now than you were in the past.
Yo, Carlos, so I gotta shut this down right now. So you're telling me that if an Xbox, and correct me if I'm wrong in this assumption, that if the Xbox is more powerful than PlayStation, I'm gonna go choose that over the PlayStation?
No, just making sure
we understand each other here.
I'm saying even people like you guys who don't really care about tech specs are aware of them.
Yeah.
Not maybe not to full extent, but you do have some cognizance of some of the tech specs that are coming for this systems. So I'm saying if people who don't even care about tech specs are aware of them, then what do you think about the zealots who fucking brag about it all the time? They need to find
point.
Yeah, they need to get their ammo, their ammunition in order to fight, you know, the great battle.
The great battle. Great battle.
I think it's not gonna matter. It's really gonna come down to games.
But oh yeah, but I mean, but what the question is, it's like, do you think people are gonna? Yeah. Do you think people are gonna be, you know, fighting over, you know, tech specs per se?
Yeah, they fight over everything. You know, but what really matters? What really matters is which one has the better games. That's what's gonna come down.
The game.
Yeah. Do the third says it has begun.
It has begun. Brian, get in here, man.
Of course. Like, we can enter that circle again. You know, like the circle of... Yes. You start off like, oh, this console's going to be better than the PCs are, like, before launch. And then, like, the first 2-3 years, it's like, oh, just wait until the devs master the hardware. And then, after a while, it's like, okay, we have a year of, like, good games. After that's like, oh, just wait until the next generation of consoles when they'll be better again.
So, Don't forget the secret sauce, Brian.
Yeah, that's like part two when they say, oh, the devs haven't found the secret sauce yet. They haven't like mastered the power yet, or they haven't reached the console's full potential. Like, oh, this game is only using like 20% of the console's power, blah, blah, blah. That nonsense. So we're at the point now where everyone's about to begin saying how these next piece of consoles are so somehow better than PC because this number is slightly higher than this number, and saying really dumb shit like PS4 is better than like a GTX Titan because there's more RAM in it. Like, okay, you do you, bro. Don't let you near any heavy machinery, please. It's going to do the same thing. Again, it's only just gotten worse as each console goes along, so I think that this one will just be worse than last time. So I'm just going to prepare myself for the nonsense cycle. Like, oh, these consoles are like so much more powerful because they have this high number instead. It's like, oh.
Bro.
Yet, they never talk about the CPU spec. They always talk about like the RAM spec and the graphics card. Never the CPU. Mm-hmm. Funny. I wonder why that is, Carlos.
Because it... Okay. Oh.
All right, gotta give an update. Yeah. Update for some people. Because somebody sent me a text. You're like, where is it? I can't find it. For the Outer Worlds, you have to just do a search for Outer Worlds. It's not popping up in the Game Pass because it's a pre-download. So once you type in the Outer Worlds, you'll see it pops up and it'll say install.
It happened to me with Gears. So the Game Pass sometimes has the thing, you know, where like the Game Pass tab where it just shows up. Mm-hmm. And you can't search for it, so just go to the Xbox store and it might be there.
Yeah, and then search it from there, and then you'll see it says install. Surprising, it's kind of small. It's a 17.24 gig.
It's, you know,
It's
compressed.
Yeah, compressed. Sorry. There we go. And then I'm installing it now.
There you go. Well, back to Brian's question, it's because it doesn't fit their narrative, or they're not educated on such matters. That they are not prepared to, you know, include that into their argument.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Let's just be real. Listen, I've said this before. A lot of people that talk about this stuff, console guys, they're fucking ignorant. All they look at is the number. Is that number is higher than that one? It's better. That's literally what their argument comes down to. You know.
You made a tail flaps.
That's like saying every sequel is better than original. And we know that.
It's got a higher number, though, man.
Yeah, it's got to be better, right? Came back with a sequel.
Got two of them now, man.
Shit.
Yeah. Yeah, console guys are fucking dumb.
Yeah, man. Look at a game.
I'm saying
like,
this, and I'm saying this as a console guy. We're fucking look at dumb.
But it applies to PC too, man. People get video cards, and I'm like, yo, your last one was better.
Look at a game like The Legend of Zelda: Breath of the Wild. A game, you know, comparative to a lot of other games, it doesn't look that great.
Wait,
but
Breath of the Wild, i.e., the most overhyped game of the generation.
Oh, God damn it, you stole my thunder, man. Yeah, that's I was gonna say, like, yeah, like it doesn't look that good, but it still made top five all time games to the IGN top games list.
He's not making that up, people. By the way, they literally did a number five game of all time, Breath of the Wild.
Breath of the Wild, number five game of all time. All
right, IGN, you go ahead.
Like, the problem there is that it's IGN. You know, that's the problem.
Oh, Brian, they put. So I don't know. I don't know how you like. Sometimes you surprise me, but they
put a tweet, and yeah, I'm still just disappointed.
Yeah. Well, it's like I was like thinking, like, how the hell can they argue for this? Like, it's a good game, but I mean, it's not better than a lot of other Zelda games that's like Ocarina of Time. It's ahead of Ocarina of Time.
It's IGN. Like, you cannot spell ignorance without IGN.
Damn.
Like, that's why that hate exists. Because they keep doing dumb shit like this. Like,
so
top five all time? Like, that's a no. I'm sorry, that's a no.
I don't even mind it, like, being in that list. Like, yeah, if it's in your top 100, yeah, that's fine. You know? But then I'm like, yeah, it's their opinion. And then I saw number 100. The number 100 game of all time is Pokemon Go. I was like, yeah, all right, I'm done with this.
Yeah, it's like, come it's on, like, guys.
Can't take it seriously, man. I tried to take you seriously once, but, you know, fool me one, shame on me.
I'm looking at any of those.
I'm sorry, but that's not a game. That's just a time sink. That's coming from someone that plays it. That's a damn time sink. It's not a game.
Oh, yeah.
There's a difference.
Yeah, I played it too, and then it was just
because I'm still playing it now. And I'm saying that that's a time sink. Like, it's not a game.
Yeah, man.
Oh, man.
Better than shit. Fucking Gears 5 is better than shit.
Like, essentially, they are saying that they couldn't find 100 games better than Pokemon Go. Which I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, I can find 100 games better than Pokemon Go. Like, pretty much my Steam library is better than Pokemon Go. I'm sorry. I don't know what's in there, but it's better than Pokemon Go. I'm certain of it. You know, like, what's wrong with them?
Shit, there's games on the Atari 2600 that are better than that shit.
Shit.
Oh, man. E.T.?
No.
We're seeing the worst part. Like, what's that one that Torrance really liked? That is a Blade and Sword?
Dark Void.
Blade? No, not that one. There's one game on
another mobile that he really loves.
Like, years ago. Anyway, I'm pretty sure that there are better games on mobile than Pokemon Go.
I'm pretty sure every iteration of a Pokemon game that's come out for a Nintendo handheld has been better than that game.
Damn.
And Pokemon Snap and Pokemon Stadium.
It's Asphalt is probably better than Pokemon Go.
Jeez. Homie said E.T., that's right.
Yo, man, at least it was a game. They tried.
Hey, that guy, was it that guy programmed that thing in a week?
No, what GZDR said, he goes, would you run into the women's bathroom in Walmart to chase a Charizard?
No. You wouldn't have to do it. You just give it to a girl that's going in. It's like, hey, can that's you hold right, this yeah. up? That's it.
Yo, man, that game, like, I mean, it wasn't even a game. Well, it was a game. It was more like a fucking plaything, man. It's like people would just fucking gather around a fucking you know, city block just to fucking get a Pokemon and not do anything with it.
Well, it's collecting. We like to Got collect. It. You know, humans, we're hoarders. We all do it. We all collect something.
Gotta catch them all.
There you
Gotta
go.
Catch them all. Gotta have some.
I remember way after. I remember my little brother got into that, but that wasn't a thing when I was a kid. Pokemon.
Well, you weren't a kid when it started.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It wasn't around, so I never really got into that.
Because when I got into it was like late, like 99. I was like elementary school, I think.
99?
Or 97, 99 era. I think 99 was when the game came out, but the cards came out before that.
You were in elementary school in 99?
In 99, yes, I think.
Yeah. Shit.
I'm old right now.
I feel old. I was in college at the, yeah, I graduated high school in 96.
Yeah, 99, I started college, yeah.
It was a class on 1999. That's when I got out of high school.
I didn't even know Pokemon had games until like the mid 2000s. Like, they made games out of that shit. I had no idea, because all first. In 1999, all I knew was the Pokemon cartoon. That's all I knew.
Don't you mean anime?
Yeah, the anime. Oh,
anime.
1999.
And don't feel bad, Adam. My brother graduated before you did high school.
I feel so fucking old.
Yeah, man. Crazy. All right, let's move on to Mr. the longest question in throwdown history right now.
Uh-oh.
Now, here's the funny thing. Here's a caveat. This is from Mr. B. Will. I could have easily condensed it to three sentences. I know what he's asking. It's a very, very straightforward question. But B. Will asks us like maybe two questions a year, and he put the time into this. I'm going to read the whole thing.
Doing it live.
Again, it's probably going to take me like a good 5-6 minutes. My man wrote a lot. So if you guys want to take notes, feel free to. All right. So he goes.
We're going on a journey. We're going on a journey.
So he goes. So you know how PC exclusive games are usually built to run optimally on whatever the most cutting edge hardware is. And then each person's PC system scales it down according to what their system can handle. Well, how possible is that on consoles? That's his main question. Let me get into the details. There we go. All right. PS5 and Xbox Scarlett will both be built with backwards compatibility in mind. Having the PS4 generation of games available on PS5 will be a huge reason why the PS5 would be a day one buy for many, including myself. But I hear a lot of people making an assumption that I disagree with, that Sony will remake all of their PS4 exclusives on PS5 and sell them again to double dip for consumer cash. Of course, that makes sense for Sony to date, as they've been very pro-Sony, while Microsoft has been very pro-consumer. That's mostly because Microsoft got their asses handed to them out of the gate, so customer-friendly was the only path they had forward. And to their benefit, it's been great to see them build value into their consoles and ecosystems since 2015 and so forth. Almost halfway done. Okay. So with everybody thinking that Sony will maintain their greedy stance going to PS5, I disagree. I think the PS3 lesson has been learned and they won't make that mistake again. And with Microsoft already taking a value heavy approach to this generation ends, I think it's safer to assume that Sony will follow suit. All right. Reasonable enough. I predicted over a year ago that Sony would soften on the crossplay stance and also bend on their PS Now offerings. They have done both. It was very predictable. The generation didn't start with those things on the table, so it doesn't make them look too bad to say it's not available right now. But having those things in play during the current gen, it would make Sony the heel to omit these things when Microsoft has not talked about them but implemented them. And since Sony wouldn't want to turn the tide against themselves to start a new generation when customers are most at danger of jumping ship or changing allegiances, they'll be as value driven as possible while roping in their biggest advantage, the PS4 library. All right. So that brings me back around to my question. Is it possible that Sony had their exclusives built similarly to PC games, constructed to run on much stronger hardware? Imagine God of War or Spider-Man running in true 4K, 60 frames a second, enhanced backgrounds and textures, abbreviated load times with the SSD enhancements, etc., and then downgraded two steps to run on PS4 Pro and even further down to base PS4, all for the purpose of having these games built from scratch to run enhanced on a PS5. I think it would be extremely forward-thinking and not completely unheard of, since Microsoft's efforts started in earnest in 2012. The last paragraph, industry entities talk to each other and know what the other is working on, so they could have seen this coming, known they needed to build it into the next hardware, then start communicating that to developers as they rolled out PS4's exclusives. I mean, we're getting most of them in the last half of the gen, so it's definitely feasible. And if so, we could buy a PS5 day one, pop in or download a PS4 exclusive, have the game update with something similar to a PS4 Pro enhancement patch, and then have that game run with all the PS4 Pro enhancements we got to choose from individually, but all of them running simultaneously. So instantly, there would be a visible, tangible reason to own a PS5, even if there was a scant PS5 launch title. And these enhancements would not be available with PS Now, so the incentive to own the console would exist. P.S., I love the show, guys. All the personalities make it great. Keep it going. Thank you, Will, for your long question. Very well thought out. And thank you for your patronage, as always, man.
Yeah, man. Appreciate it.
So his core question is, like, you know, can they do with PS5 games, you know, what they do with PC? PC, basically, game scale to whatever your hardware is. Will they be able to do that with PS5 games? I don't see why they wouldn't be able to do that. You know what I'm saying? Because it's all on running on x86. Brian, you start us off, man. What do you say?
I'm actually banking on this fact. Like, I really hope that they do this, in fact, because if they don't, then it'll be really quite strange.
Yeah.
Because
Brian, before we go on, we all in agreement that they can do this if they want, right?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, yeah, we're okay. Go ahead, Brian. Yeah, I just wanted to bring that up. Yeah. We all agree if they want, they could do this. Anyway, go on.
I am hoping that they do this because I said to these guys after the show on Thursday, I purchased God of War and what's it called?
Horizon.
That's the one. Yeah, Horizon, the complete edition. So I have those, and I have Nier Automata as well. So I'm hoping that the PS5 rolls around and they will actually run somehow PS Pro, I guess, if you want to call it that. So yeah, I really hope that they do have some way of like making the games run better, because I don't think it'll be all that complicated. It all just seems, judging by how things are done on the Pro side, because I've been looking at the performance mode, and it just seems like they just have some sort of frame rate lock. So if they remove that lock, then it seems like that's how the PS4 Pro performance mode works, in that it's just like, hey, we just have the one without a frame rate lock and then just runs as fast as it can.
Well, they're both frame rate locks. They're just one set at a lower frame rate than the other one.
Yeah, but it's the idea of like having that lock removed so that, or having it moved to 60.
It's basically like overclocking.
That's the case.
It's not overclocking, because
no. I mean, for the performance, when they say, not for the graphical, but when they say, oh, it'll run faster, less load time and stuff, then that's pretty much what it's doing. It's removing that cap. I'm saying, because there's some games where you'll see the option where it'll say, hey, you want to improve performance or resolution.
Right? Yeah, but
it's mostly stuff like uncapping the frame rate. That seems to be what that checkbox is doing. I hope that will be a thing across all games.
Yeah.
But I don't know which studios are doing it. Like, my guess is that all third-party games will do it, because it's Sony and they can enforce that. Whereas third-party games, I don't really know how that will work.
Just to put things into perspective with let's say a game like The Last of Us. The Last of Us has a frame rate cap on the game when it originally came out. So let's say when it originally got remastered on the PS4. And I don't remember what it was, maybe like 30 frames or something like that for a second it was capped at, I want to say.
So. And then it went to 60.
Of course, 30 frames.
But then that's the other one that had two options.
Wait, no, but hold on. So, but then the PS4 Pro came out, and the PS4 Pro, when they were testing the game there, it was still capped at 30 frames per second. The thing is, the PS4 Pro is way more capable than the regular PS4. So they moved the cap from 30 frames to whatever else frames, what, 60 maybe? I don't know what frame rate it's running on the PS4 Pro, even though I played it on it.
It was 60,
right? So they just moved
it too fast. Doesn't look right.
Yeah, so like they're just moving the cap up because they know that the system can handle this game at this frame rate. So that's essentially what they're doing. They're not doing anything special to get these things done. It's like either we're, because the reason why there is a frame rate cap is because they don't want, you know, screen tearing. You know, they don't want you to go from, you know, 20 frames to, you know, 40 frames back to.
This is the, now, you know what? This brings up a good point for something else, because we were talking before about how if we could play, all the PS4 games on a PS5, right? So just like this game that we're talking about now, there was two options. You can improve the frame rate, or you can improve, I think it was the resolution performance. There was other options, right? You can't have both. It's one or the other. So then in theory, if the PS5 is that much powerful, then when we put in, let's say, The Last of Us, where one of those games that has those two options, they should both be able to work at the same time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. That should be for PS4 games, definitely.
It should, like, right? That would be the test. Because if we put in one of those and we still have the option to just select one or the other, then I would feel ripped off. I'm like, yo, this is the next gen. Play both. Do both performance improvements.
Yo, man. I mean, even a game like The Last of Us, it's like, you know, on the PS4 Pro, it's a PS3 game, by the way. It just got remastered into a PS4 and into a PS4 version. And it's like, yeah, you can either upgrade the frame rate, or you can upgrade the resolution.
Mm-hmm.
But you can only do one. But if the PS5 can't even do both, then yeah, that's some messed up stuff.
That's going to be interesting to see. I think that would be my first test if I do get the PS5
on launch. But I think it would, but then that's where we get to the whole thing with, you know, the developer has to give you the option
to do either or,
because, you know, if they just remaster, for example, a game that doesn't have any of those special options, then they're still going to be capped to whatever they are, to whatever resolution.
So they could just say, oh yeah, we don't have anyone working on that title anymore. So yeah, we didn't go back to make that adjustment.
Yeah. Yep, pretty much.
That would suck. But man, yeah, well, there's a few games that have that. So, God of War has that also.
Also, PlayStation has that silly boost mode thing, and you know, for games that aren't compatible.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it doesn't...
Don't you mean beast mode?
Beast mode. Mode.
Beast. You know what? With that boost in beast mode, it'd be cool if they had a little notification that the shit was actually working. We don't know if it's working. You know what I mean? We checked the box. I'm like, yeah, okay. I hope it's... It'd be cool if it was like, boost mode activated for this title. Boost mode. You know, like, or something like a sound and a little like how we get notifications, you know? Like, boop, activated. Like, for example, when I used to use the HDR on, and I would play a game, it would pop up. Boop. It was like, hey, you're in HDR mode right now. This game is utilizing HDR. It's like, oh, okay. Now I know.
I'm going to turn it off.
Exactly. It fucking shit sucks. Some games work. They haven't perfected that tech yet.
What about the part where he talks about, because we've talked about this before, because I always said that, you know, even though they can do this, I still am of the belief that Sony will try to find a way to sell you the game twice. So he, what do you think about that whole aspect? How do you think they're going to, because think about it again, if they do things right, they won't have to sell you a game twice. You know,
we just did it. We just answered that.
Oh,
this is how, because remember what we just said, where they went, let's say, for example, what we just said Last of Us with the two options, the 60 frame and the other one. It's like, oh, we didn't go back to make this thing. Hey, but if you want the ultimate edition, that one That's will true. Have that yeah. all master, and that one will have both of those checked. And then they could do both. We went back to fix that up and turn both those options on at the same time. That's how they'll get us.
No, I don't think they'll do that.
They'll be cheesy, man. They do it now with fucking
going to find. I still think they're going to find a way, you know.
They might do it with like downloadable content maybe or something like that. Like
play the download here, of the PlayStation
Here's the other 5. Thing that we haven't talked about. This is when it comes
5 Ultra Boost mode.
Because we know it says that it's going to be backward compatible PS4, but it's like, I would think it has something to do also with publishers agreeing to that. They would have to agree that they want their games to be ported over. I'm sure all PS4 exclusives will definitely work. But what if, let's say, Activision says, some of our games, we don't want that because we plan on doing some remasters for it.
I'll tell you this much. If Sony, with their PlayStation 5, has those backwards compatible games that are, you know, compatible with a system, and they don't let you, you know, do the enhancements, and they have it, you know, for other versions that they're going to sell you, there'll be uproar. This should be especially because Microsoft isn't doing that. That's why you know, people forget this shit, but Sony is doing a lot of these things because fucking Microsoft has pushed them to do it. You know, the whole
competition is good in all industries, and it's great. It's great to see this. I'm glad somebody fell behind so we can do this.
Because remember
when PlayStation fell behind before, and with the Plus, and they gave us Plus and all these cool little features stuff that worked out great. We need this. We need this competition.
It remember when people were innovates. People were shitting on fucking on backwards compatibility at mm-hmm. to start this gen.
Yeah.
Now that Microsoft, you know, like put a lot of effort into that, now it's like it has to have backwards compatibility
yeah.
now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. You know, and I think the other plus side was that not so much that they gave us backward compatibility, but they also turned on servers for those games that had been turned off for multiplayer. That was a big deal, especially like games like Skate, because be like, all right, so we can play Skate again. Yeah, no, they turned the servers back on for this shit. Oh, there you go. There you go. Really bring it back. Don't half-ass it.
Yeah. All right. GCDR, brother, we got you, man. All right. So his first question is, now that the NPDs came out and Gears of War 5 fell to number 7, was it worth putting it on Game Pass for $1? All Gears games used to be number 1 the month they came out. Just a correction, the game didn't fall to 7. It debuted at 7, yeah. So it didn't fall.
Yeah, and so, we don't know those numbers from Game Pass.
But anyway, he's just saying, was it worth putting it on Game Pass?
It's money. We don't know the money. We got to find out from Microsoft when they release those numbers of how many people subbed up, you know, to play that game. They know the numbers. They know it. It's up to them to release it, because that's something that NPDs can't show.
It's hard to tell, you know, like Adam said, like a lot of these numbers, the money that they're going to get from this is not going to be, you know, visible to us, you know, that explicitly, like, oh, Gears 5 contributed to these many subscribers in this mm-hmm. month for that subscribe for this long amount of time. So it's honestly, Microsoft is going to be the only one that's going to know if Gears was a success or not.
It's like Netflix with their series. It's like rating-wise. How do we know how many people watch Stranger Things? It could be maybe only a million people. We don't know.
Yeah, so it's hard to tell. Like, I could tell right away that Gears wasn't going to do well on NPDs because it's not, you know, you can get the game for a dollar
pretty much. Up on a service, and it's included.
War says that you need to admit that Gears of War was a flop worldwide.
I can't admit that because it's not a flop. It's a fun game. I don't know what people were expecting then. It's more Gears, and they added some new elements, which are okay, but it's still Gears at its heart. It didn't change the format. It didn't take away the roadie run. It didn't add a first-person mode. It gave us more Gears. Marcus Fenix is still alive. That's what I'm saying. It's like you take out key elements, then it falls away, and then you turn into Breakpoint. But it didn't do that. You know, it continued with what we expect. What we want is there. Chainsaw and blood squirting on the screen is still there. They could have went very PC in today's time and got rid of that. No, they didn't. You know, so it's still more of the same. I think what it is, and somebody here, did anybody say it? Somebody was talking about it, calling it fatigue. You know, they were like, oh, maybe it's just the whole genre fatigue. And I was like, well, somebody's having that. And I'm like, yeah, I guess if you're tired of the same old, or that world, same old, with just tweaks and stuff, then fine, then it's dead to you. But the same could be said for Call of Duty. You know, a lot of people say it's the same old with little tweaks. You're right, but people play it. Millions of people play it. You know, so even now, this new one is going to have all kinds of new elements, but at the core, it's still Call of Duty. You're still running, shooting, putting new attachments, and then rinse and repeat. That's it. You know, it's a shooting range.
Wait,
but people
what?
Love it.
Yeah, no, GDR says there's only 35 people playing Gears of War on Mixer. Really? Damn.
All right, well, then you have to still activate
35
the stream.
I mean, that can't be right.
That doesn't. Well, even if that's the case, it still doesn't give us numbers for people that went and purchased it or even did the Game Pass. That doesn't mean anything. I mean, I played it. I didn't stream that shit. I don't stream
that. Well, to be fair, there's only 60 people on Mixer anyways.
Oh, there you go. There's only 60 people.
Ninja. Everybody knows this.
Yeah, right. Glorious War says, good games can still not sell, like Gravity Rush 1 and 2.
Well, there's a lot of them. There's a lot of games. So, yeah. I mean, it all depends on what people are looking for and what they consider as done. If you're tired of a series, it's done for you. Regardless of what they do, you're tired of it. Yeah, you know, it's more of the same.
Yeah, I want to go on to his next question because it's kind of tied to this one. The Outer Worlds drops on October 25th, which is still under the $1 Ultimate Game Pass deal. How the hell is Game Pass profitable?
Oh, it's very profitable.
No, did you hear this? How. He wants to know how. How is it profitable?
All right, they get a percentage. There was a report. I got to find it. There was a dev who came out and he talked about how it works and it actually helped their sales. So the deal is that they contact Microsoft. Sometimes it's vice versa. The Microsoft may approach others, but then other developers approach them and then they work out a deal and it goes based off of downloads. So they get put on the service and then they get a percentage from the download. So they potentially getting a lot of sales that they normally wouldn't get just from somebody downloading it. And that's how they make their money. You know, I'm sure some of them, Microsoft is paying up front a certain amount, sort of like how PlayStation does it. And I heard even with PlayStation, it works the same way with PlayStation Plus games. So some developers reach out and say, yeah, put us up on there. And if they get it, they get a certain amount of sales based off of the download. So even though it's there, it's not like, oh, well, we're assuming everyone that has Plus is downloading this free game. That's not the case. I don't play MLB. I don't play baseball games. Did I bother clicking it? No. But if I did, then that studio, well, that's an in-house game. They would still get the money. And that's how it works. It's based off of clicks and downloads. No different than what we see on YouTube is of getting the clicks to build the numbers up and get some points. And that's how those services work. And according to this report, I'll find it and post it up. I'll look for it now. But this developer said it actually helps and it makes some money. So in-house games, now that Microsoft owns Outer Worlds, they don't give a shit. It's all in-house. The studio, whatever they make, doesn't matter. They want to boost this service. So these studios pretty much were developed to create games to pump into Game Pass to get you to subscribe. There's more money in subscriptions than a one-off $60 purchase, which is why we're seeing all these other games turning into services. So that's their whole motive behind it. So if we're over here saying about, oh, well, Gears numbers on number six, and I'm sure Outer Worlds is going to be probably even lower because it's going to be on Ultimate Pass. You know, so then we really need to see the numbers of people that start subbing because, like, hey, I'm seeing the pattern here. They have like six studios now. And now we see that every game that comes from these studios are going to go on to Game Pass. Why am I shelling out? If I know, let's say they're going to have three or four games coming out within 2020 that I'm definitely going to want to get. Well, then I could save money and just get Game Pass and get all of it because those are going to be there. That's their whole logic behind it. So again, that breaks the whole MPD point there. Because then if that case, if you're going to look at those numbers, every fucking game that comes to Xbox is going to bomb.
Yeah, that's what he says. He goes, Adam, bruh, you're getting your info wrong. Game Pass only helps with sales if your game has never been heard of. AAA have a decline in sales like Gears of War franchise.
No, man, no. You don't understand it. Look at all the games that are already on there. Like I just brought up, you have other games. Devil May Cry. People still like playing Devil May Cry. Devil May Cry 5 sold very well, and it's on there. These are other studios. These are people that, why are they putting their games if they can say, hey, we can still sell. We still make money because there's still money in there because of the subscriptions. So there's got to be. What did we hear the numbers? Did Microsoft even release the numbers of how many subs they have?
I don't know. That's a good question.
You know what I mean? Let me see. I'm gonna look that up
I don't know, but because Microsoft doesn't like to release numbers these days.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Because let's say, all right, let's say they even have 2-3 million. Let's say around 3 million subs, right, for Game Pass. Yeah. Okay, they have 3 million subs. You just put Devil May Cry 5 on there. Right. Let's say the numbers were declining or whatever because the game has been out for a while. Instead of them having to put it on sale, now they have this deal where it's on Game Pass. We don't know the percentage that they're getting, but these developers, these publishers must be getting a good amount because we're seeing, like I said, not so old games on there. They have to be getting something out of this. There's always a motive for it. They're not doing it out of the graces of their hearts to be nice to Microsoft. Yeah, go ahead, put that game on Game Pass. No, they're doing it for money, or else they would just leave it in the store and put it on sale for like $10 less or something. You know what I mean? Yeah. There's got to be some serious money behind it, and that's why we're seeing these newer third-party games, semi-new, within... I mean, when did Exodus and the Devil May Cry 5? That's less than 5 months, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they're already on there. Along with other ones. So there's got to be a financial backing behind it and a reason for it. Because we're not seeing that quick turnaround when it comes to Plus titles. So there's got to be something else going on. It's all about money, man. No one's ever nice in the business.
They're obviously making money off of subscriptions, but
a whole... That's what I'm saying. And then how much, and then from this, I got sidetracked. All right, so
I'll read it, Glorious, where he goes, my source is... Matt Piscatella of NPD, he thinks Sony and Nintendo won't put AAA on Game Pass style sub day one. So even an NPD guy saying that Nintendo's not going to be doing that.
Well, Nintendo don't do a lot of things. They don't even fucking put their own games, the reduced prices.
I guess, correct me if I'm wrong, Glorious Word, but you're saying that Matt Piscatella is saying that this is a bad strategy, Game Pass? Yeah, answer the question and let me know. I didn't hear his thoughts on Game Pass.
Well, it's you know, it's not as easy as it looks. You know, it's like Sony and Nintendo aren't putting their games into a Game Pass subscription because the sales of their games are as high as ever. Xbox game sales were trending down. So these kinds of things are, you know, Microsoft will not put Gears 5 day one or Sea of Thieves day one or State of Decay 2 day one on Game Pass if they expected these games to sell the way they used to sell or sell like, you know, PS4 and Nintendo exclusive sell their first party games. So they're obviously doing it because they believe that they'll help out the subscription better than, you know, the sales alone would help Microsoft. That's the reason why I think they're doing it. And so they're not. Can you read my comment above?
I just read it.
He says there are 200.
Yeah.
Well, it says there. Oh no, that's G. Oh, never mind.
Yeah, that's GZDR. There are 200 games on Game Pass.
Ah, okay. Yeah. No, maybe Glorious Word typed that before I started talking. So
okay.
I'm assuming that's what it is. But yeah, Microsoft games were trending down, you know, Halo, Gears, they weren't selling as well as they used to last gen. So they had to do something. And this is what they did. You gotta have some.
So then here's another report that I was reading, and it's talking about that they do a similar model like Spotify. So Spotify gives big artists, a large sum up front. Right? I know Tool and a few other ones received this large sum up front. And they said for certain titles, they do that. And they work out a deal with these publishers to have it up there. Thing is that we don't know the time because obviously it's all within a time window. They're not up there forever, so we don't know. But according to one report, that it's similar to the Spotify model when it comes to how they get some of the bigger titles up there.
But isn't it true that a lot of those Spotify like artists don't even make a lot of money off of Spotify?
It depends because that was it. Joe Rogan had the Black Keys, the lead singer of the Black Keys, and he had talked about it because they were against doing it for a long time. And then they said, all right, why not? The label kept pushing it. It's like, no, you got to do it. We're seeing big increases for the other artists. And he said, you know what? It did work out for a few things. One, it gets exposure, gets a lot of play. They did the one lump sum also. And he said it was like $400,000 or something, whatever. They got this one, which is nice to see up front. Like, oh, wow, but it's just hurting sales. But they also noticed an increase in merch sales and an increase in ticket sales for events. And they can see where people are purchasing tickets. And as you know, when you use Spotify, you have that option to click tickets from there. So they were seeing an increase of people purchasing tickets from Spotify as opposed to Ticketmaster and other services.
Interesting.
So it's was trickling in a way. Do you really know how much you would have sold in stores to other people? Well, people don't buy music. That's just what they don't do it anymore. You know, everything's a service. Right, you and four other people. So then do you have this service? And they were like, well, if that's where all the people are, if they're listening to it, then there's a good chance that they click on the option just for the merch because it's a quick instant gratification. Boom, I got my t-shirt. Okay. Oh, they're coming to my town. Click here. Boom, I got my ticket. So they saw it trickling in other areas. So in turn, it did help them. So thing is, it's a little different in gaming because, I mean, unless it's a publisher you really like and you download a game. It's like, oh, wow, they make some awesome games. Let's say, I don't know, like Ubisoft. It's like, oh, wow, this is a great game. Do they have any other open world games like this? Oh, Odyssey. Oh, okay. Maybe it could trickle in that way, but at least for the Spotify system. And, yeah, of course, there's going to be some artists that get no play and get no interest. Maybe nobody cares about if they're on tour in their neighborhood or those type of things. But there's always going to be some that fall by the wayside. But the large majority of the top labeled groups that we know of, they are making money from it. So it's not hurting them like as if they were giving their music away for free. So it's turned out to be a positive, which is why all these groups that were against it eventually jumped on it. You know, Beck is on there and all of these people that were constantly promoting against it.
Yeah. Glorious War says Capcom put Devil May Cry 5 in Xbox Game Pass because it sold all of its sales potential on Xbox platform. Xbox reportedly paid $22 million to Capcom for future Capcom games on Xbox Game Pass. Interesting.
Nice. Now, the thing is, that's not going to ever bring 5, though. Street Fighter 5.
No, that's not. Sucks. Street Fighter 5.
Because that was funded by
Sony.
The Sony. So that really sucks. And that's something they should have never
worked out. That turned out to be great.
You know that? Well, there you go. That was a shit show. But man, I would never. I mean, if I was Capcom, if I had a big franchise that's something like this, especially when you have tournaments all over the world for it, don't lock that down to anything. I don't care if Nintendo or anybody came up and said, give you buckets of money. Because, like, no, over in the long run, this is going to make more money for us because it's one of those franchises. A fighting game like Street Fighter, come on now. That's a game that everybody wants. And they still wound up fucking it up. It's this shit.
No, hopefully that won't happen with 6, you know?
Yeah, that's the other thing. Is it from now on, or was it a one-off?
I think it may have been a one-off, but we can't say.
No.
But yeah, hopefully they won't fuck it up next time, you know?
Don't fuck it up.
He's like, yeah, features for people who don't play online all that. Like, you can't just make a game for the FGC crowd, guys. Come on.
That's what I'm saying. Make 2 versions then. That's it. Just make 1 for that crowd and then 1 for everybody else.
Why not just make a game for everybody, like Mortal
Kombat? They don't want to do it. It takes too much time for them. They don't want to do that shit.
Yes.
Using the same engine as fucking Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, come on, man. Bullshit. Glorious War says, Capcom published games sale like shit on Xbox. Look at their financials. PS4 sales account for 60%. And overall revenue, Resident Evil 2 remake only sold like 500K on Xbox One worldwide. Damn.
Yeah, but PlayStation makes more of the. Are you talking about Microsoft or Xbox Division?
Xbox Division.
Okay.
Because Microsoft makes more money than Sony. Come on now.
Yeah, because I thought. The way I interpreted it, but I was probably wrong. Is that, you know, PlayStation makes more money off the games than Microsoft does off games. You know. So it's like,
yeah,
that's a false equivalency. But if you're talking about Microsoft, then yeah, Microsoft. I mean, if you're talking about Xbox Division.
Yeah, we're talking about Xbox because, you know.
So that, I mean, under that logic, it could be a bunch of games. We don't know how much. Because with Just Cause 4 is also on there, and there's a few other newer games that are on there. Maybe they didn't sell well either. And it just made more sense for the publishers to join up on Game Pass to help boost it. I don't know.
If Microsoft had this deal with Capcom, why wasn't Resident Evil 2 on Game Pass? It came out this year the same as Devil May Cry 5.
That is true. Yeah, maybe the deal was after Resident Evil 2. I don't know.
It doesn't include remakes, because that was the thing. It wasn't an original title. Maybe it's under like, it has to be an original new title, not a remake or a remaster.
Yeah, Resident Evil 2 probably sold more than Devil May Cry 5.
Yeah, that is so true.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Devil May Cry 5 is on sale on PSN now, too, for $29. It went on sale.
I got to blow my nose.
We'll buy it and we'll talk about that.
Yeah. Anyway, I think we're done here, people. Yeah, we're done. I'm going home. let me bring up the... little graphic here.
I gotta move, allocate the different resources on my PC to start folding at home, man. That should work into the future, man.
All right, man. So if you want to ask us questions for the next show, gotta follow these steps that you see right there on your screen and that I'm about to tell you. All right, on step one, you go join our Discord. It's always a lot of fun on Discord, a lot of crazy stuff going on in there.
Y'all are crazy.
Yeah. Step two on Discord, you go to the throw down your questions section. You drop your questions in there. Limit them to 2. Make sure they're by gaming, unless we say otherwise. And step 3, submit your questions, man. And that's pretty much that. You know, the same rules as always, but we just got to update shit. Because people, even the guys who have been around forever, where I leave the questions. Although we haven't been getting a lot of those lately because everybody knows where they are now, you know. No. Throw them on Discord. Although if you throw them up on YouTube or on the Coalition, we'll still answer them too. Or in B Will's case, you could DM me the question when you write a fucking tome, you know. His was a special case because, again, he doesn't ask us questions very often, and he is a loyal listener, and we've had him on the show before. So yeah, but in general, don't. I'm not going to read long ass questions like that. That was a very one off case. You'll get one of those maybe once or twice a year, you know. That's about that. I think we're done. Nothing really special to announce on our end. Manny, you have anything to announce? Anything special?
If you guys have checked our Twitch and our YouTube, we do have an episode of Throwdown Draws, which was a 3-parter, which is a kind of a behind the scenes of the artwork that I did for Contra Road Core on the I drew an image of Kaiser, which was the same, which was the image that was on the Geek.com interview that Tony did with me.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's on there now. And there might be another Throwdown draws coming in the next week. All I'm going to say is October 21st. There's something special. There's something special that happened on that day.
Oh, that happened on that day.
That happened on that day.
Oh, that's tomorrow.
Everybody knows that was the first episode of Throwdown.
And Adam's birthday.
It is Adam's birthday. 57th birthday, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're done here, people. So thank you for watching and listening. Leave us the questions in a Throwdown Discord server, and we'll ask them on next week's show. Subscribe to Throwdown on SoundCloud, iTunes, and YouTube. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Throwdown Show. Links are located in the description below. Once again, our show is Tony Polanco. Tonight is joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you later, guys.
Carlos Romero.
Hey, take care, everyone. This is
Adam Vail.
Have a good week, everybody.
And Brian Monjoma.
Feeling cute. My Platinum, these overrated PlayStation exclusive.
All right, guys, we'll see you on Thursday, man. Later.
Peace.
In the Middle East.